Hey, Zach here, and before we dive into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that you can actually grab the recordings of our most recent Facebook and Instagram ads for List Building Bootcamp for just $25. Now, in January of 2024, we hosted a 5-day live training where we walked our clients through step-by-step how to set up ads that grow their email list every single day so that they're always growing their business, always growing their audience, and always having new people to make offers to. Now, what's really great about this bootcamp is we have literally dozens of client results from it, and you can get the recordings of that most recent one from January of 2024 for just $25. All you have to do is head to theadsbootcamp.com. Again, that's theadsbootcamp.com. And you're going to learn step by step through how people were able to grow their list. We have incredible results like Zita, who added 67 leads to her list in just 5 days at $1.80 a piece, or Nora Jean, who added 62 leads for $1.12 in those 5 days. We have Brenda, who added over 500 people to her list over the course of a week, under 50 cents a piece. Heather Lalonde, who did over 200 leads at 50 cents a piece. Amy Hughes, who added over 300 leads in a week. I mean, the list goes on. And those are just our January testimonials. We have even more than that, plus testimonials from the last 7 times we've done this, and we would love to have you in next. So if you head over to theadsbootcamp.com, you can grab the recordings for just $25. It'll walk you step by step through growing your list, and in less than 5 days, you could have tons of new leads pouring into your list every day, semi-automated with Facebook advertising. So check it out, and let's get into this week's episode.
This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 40, with Bruce Cardenas, the COO of Quest Nutrition. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, hustlers? I am stoked for today's episode, as usual, because I have a really awesome guest. I have with me Bruce Cardenas, who is the COO of Quest Nutrition. Now, you've probably seen Quest bars at like anywhere ever. And when Quest Nutrition reached out to me to have Bruce on the podcast, I jumped at the chance because, interestingly enough, I'm actually vegan, so I can't actually eat Quest bars. But their marketing is so amazing that I could not pass up an opportunity to have them on the show. Now, we talk about some really amazing stuff, and one of the things, if I can be totally honest with you guys, that I was slightly nervous about was how well received was this episode going to be, because Quest Nutrition is a physical product. They've got a very clear mission, and they have way more fans than even myself, and I was thinking, is this going to be relatable to our audience? Oh my gosh, you guys, it is so amazing. This episode is just filled with little nuggets to the fact that Quest Nutrition actually uses a pre-sale system very similar to what we taught in episode number 20, just with physical products, to the fact that building relationships matters regardless of your product. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat when I said yes, because I was thinking, how is this going to apply? And within 10 minutes, this interview goes down the rabbit hole to just amazing nuggets of marketing wisdom. So if you're listening to this going, I don't like Quest bars, though I hear they're amazing, or you're saying, I don't know if Quest Nutrition is going to be able to teach me anything about marketing, I would challenge you to hold up, lean in, and get ready, because this is such an amazing episode with so much content that I can't even tell you guys how excited. So instead of gushing over how great I think it turned out, why don't I just introduce you guys to Bruce? Hey, Bruce, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Well, I am really excited to have you guys, because the reason that I was so excited is the request for you guys to be on the show popped up in my inbox. And the first thing that I knew is I read, you know, Quest, and I was like, I know exactly who that is. And I started doing some digging, and, you know, from brand recognition to the type of social media promotion to just the growth of the company as a whole has been absolutely impressive over the last several years when you really get down into it. But for those listeners who might not know about Quest Nutrition or might not know about you, can you give us a little background on who you are, what you guys do, and what Quest Nutrition is all about?
Yeah, listen, Quest Nutrition started almost coming up on 6-year anniversary, surprisingly enough. It started with just an idea. We have three founders, and one of the founders' wives was making basically the bars in her kitchen, just as healthy treats, sharing them with her friends at boot camp and at the gym. And the guys took a hold of it and said, hey, this might be something we could look at. And basically went from a tech company to renting kitchen space, commissary space at night, making them by hand, and started selling them online and basically just built traction to the point where we were one of the first companies that early on jumped on the Facebook bandwagon when companies hadn't really embraced it yet. So we basically would post on Facebook. Anyone that wrote us requested we would send two bars free of charge. We only had two flavors at the time, actually. And we built quite a fan base out of that. And actually, we still lead the category in social media as far as followers and fans. So that was, I think we started that about 5 years ago. That really, I think, catapulted us into another level. That's about it on that. And as far as myself, I met the founders early on. We just were friends at the gym. I come from a completely different world of, it was, believe it or not, Marine Corps. Got out, joined LAPD, had run a successful business while I was a cop, and met them early on just at the gym, and we became friends. And I've always been a relationship guy, and I just started sharing their product with some of my friends. And then it just evolved where I started sharing with some pretty big talent that I was doing protection for. It just evolved and started really building a relationship with them and a bond. And after about a year, they were like, hey, you need to come on and be part of the team. We're doing some cool things over here. And that kind of fast forward where we are today.
Awesome. I love it. And so, I mean, Quest is a pretty well-known brand, but one of the things that stuck out to me when I was kind of reading into you guys a little bit more is just what you said, that it started with founder's wife in the kitchen and they kind of started renting out the space and they scaled up. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about the early phases where you came and you really started to scale? Because there's kind of this, almost like this tipping point where, you know, kind of from 2012, where you guys first really started getting into Facebook, to 2013, where you were going from like a rented out space to like a state-of-the-art facility. What was that transition like scaling up kind of from being, you know, essentially working from where you were with what you had, you know, kitchen knives, maybe a couple of machinery, to a full-blown state-of-the-art? What was that transition and growth like for the company?
Well, I tell you, looking back, as we tell people now, we didn't know what we were getting into. And we initially, when we started the bars making it by hand, we had no intentions of making product. We were going to be the marketing firm who basically, you know, many companies have co-branders. You know, you have an idea, someone else makes it for you. And many, many brands do that. And that's what we planned on doing. But when we took our product, let's call it the dough, if you will, the matrix that makes up the bar, we took it to manufacturers. No one could produce it without altering the ingredients. So people would say, hey, we can make this for you, but you need to add, you know, liquid agave, sugar, something to make it more pliable and run through the machinery. Well, we obviously did not want to change our ingredients because part of it is we have, you know, clean, healthy ingredients. So we were forced to basically become a manufacturing company. We bought a piece of equipment, had to modify it, trial and error, many bad runs, very expensive, to the point where we finally got that down. But it was a lot of trial and error to the point now where we have a full-blown manufacturing facility and produce, you know, I think excess of 1 million bars a day. But we never intended to get in that field in the manufacturing space.
And I really love that about your story. And there was something that you, that I saw on the Quest Nutrition website, which was you guys essentially did have that issue where you bought the equipment, but you kind of ran into the same issues everybody was saying you were going to run into. It wasn't working, but you guys pivoted. And can you talk to me a little bit about how did you, or how did Quest, how were you guys able to really create such a concise but strong vision where when people are coming in and saying like, listen, the easiest way to get this to work is to just add some sugar or cut it with a not clean ingredient. You know, how did you get that vision so strong and so forward?
Well, we didn't want to compromise the brand. You know, making it by hand was working. People were giving us amazing feedback and our fans on Facebook were like, these are amazing. Obviously, you can't go down that path for X amount of months and then say, oh, by the way, we're going to change the ingredients and go against what we believe in. And we're, you know, we're not a sugar company. There's not a grain of sugar in our facility. So it would be really hard. We went the hard route. We could have went the easy route, probably came up with some formula that would have been acceptable, but it would have gone against everything we believed in. And even to this day, as I said, our mission statement is revolutionizing food by making it clean, eating delicious and fun. I mean, we could have said, and adding, you know, fake, you know, a bunch of liquid sugar and agave and stuff and honey. It just was against everything we believed in. So we suffered through the hard times to make it worth it. But,
yeah,
but many companies don't. You go the easy route and throw in a bunch of other stuff. And yeah, people are going to buy it, but I think we've held to our, you know, standard, if you will.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that that's pervasive in every space that you see, whether it's the food industry or, you know, the info space or, you know, even products on the shelf is, you know, especially in 2016, that's what people want. They want a company that is willing to kind of do the hard work and go against the grain to ultimately serve what they want and solve that real problem in the marketplace. So I loved that part of your story. So I want to pivot just a little bit and talk a little bit about your social media and the growth of the company. And you talked a little bit about how you got into Facebook when it was early on. And I love that you talk about that because, you know, my listeners know that one of the things that was really big for my company, Heart, Soul, and Hustle, was we got on Periscope when it was first getting started. And can you talk a little bit about kind of finding your way in a social media space, especially when, like you said, like at that time, not only were companies not on Facebook, but it's funny to think in 2012, companies weren't having a two-way conversation with consumers the way they are now. And how did you kind of navigate that space?
Yeah, it is interesting how it's evolved because now everyone has a Facebook page, every company. But when we started it, listen, it was uncharted territory, but we developed very quickly very loyal fans. And what we found as we would launch a product or we would do something, they were very boisterous and they had loud voices and we had to respect that. We had a couple people that were regulars, like they would, and early on, obviously before we had this down to a science, people would comment and say, hey, I just got a peanut butter bar and it seemed a little light to us or a little, you know, off or whatever. And they held us to a standard. Or if we launched a new flavor, they would be like, hey, this isn't working and we have to modify it. And it wasn't a big group. I mean, I'm not talking about, now we have over a couple million followers or fans. This is when we still had a core group, but we listened to them and we monitor. So if people jumped on the bandwagon and said, hey, this is what we're not feeling, or this is what we're feeling, or this is great what you're doing. And we've just held to that. We listen to our fans. And I think a lot of brands are doing that now, but you've got to listen to the people. It's our core group is what I call it. These are the people we started with. We started out initially just in the fitness industry. We go to bodybuilding events and CrossFit events, and we listen to people. And it really paid off. It paid the dividends because those same Facebook fans are still with us. And now we've obviously evolved. Now we have cooking recipes and do Facebook Live and stuff. But those same fans from day one are still with us. And we actually acknowledge them too. We have a loyal fan base and we do some cool stuff with them.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And, you know, I think that that's so key what you said. You know, this is something that we preach in this space, especially where, you know, you guys are a much larger company, and something that you said that, you know, I don't think we hear enough of it in any marketing space is like, we actually listen to them. We show up and we listen. And not only do you listen, but you're responsive. And, you know, it's very clear to see that that's responsible for a massively successful brand. And what's really great is for the people listening to this show, most of us are working with an audience of like, you know, a couple thousand right now, or maybe even tens of thousands, or, you know, maybe even 100,000. But you can be responsive without having to respond to everyone. So I love what you're saying. Can you go a little bit deeper with that? I love that you said you listen to them and you're responsive to them. What do you guys do, or what did you do or continue to do to kind of communicate with that core group and make them feel not just that they're being heard, but that they're being responded to? Because I think that's so key in 2016.
Well, one of the things we did when we started, it was early on, we have a yearly fan of the year. It's actually called the Joey Romito Award. It was an early on fan that was one of the first loyals. She just popped up on her Facebook and was very, very, not say critical. She was very outspoken of what she liked and didn't like. So we created an award named after her, and we bring in a couple fans every year based on, you know, several criteria, you know, the contests we do and stuff, but that set the precedence. We going into our fifth year of the Joey Romito Award. So we clearly listen to everything they say. And to go a little deeper now, we actually created another category, if you will. It's called Quest Labs, because we do want to listen to our fans. So it's something that people can sign in. It's actually Quest Labs at Quest Nutrition. They get products in advance. So one of the things we figured out is instead of launching a flavor and then see how it does in the marketplace, we launch it on this Quest Labs. And I think there's up to like 20,000, maybe 15,000 people are in this Quest Labs, but they get the product in advance. And then they give us feedback. Do they reorder it? And we have a spot where they can comment and say, hey, does this work for you? Does it work? And we've actually not sent certain products to market based on their feedback. We listen to every angle, every approach. We listen to our core and our fans and our customers because you want to give people what they want.
Yeah.
And what they need. That's one of the reasons I think the bar succeeded, because when we started the bar company, don't get me wrong, the market was saturated with bars. And even people are like, these are idiots. Like, what do you mean start a bar company? There's so many bars. But no one, honestly, people said, but there's no clean bar that tastes good. And I know because my experience, you know, I used to be in, you know, compete and all that stuff, and it'd always be the cardboard tasting. So we created a product that was unique. It was clean, it was delicious, and it tasted good, and it was good for you. So there was a need. And we still, to this day, all our products, we try and follow that path. So.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, with Quest Labs, do people pay to be a part of Quest Labs?
So here's the deal. They pay for the product, but they get it in advance. And it's not, you know, I think cheaper than what it's going to go out in retail. So yeah, they buy it, but part of it, it's kind of an exclusive club. It's almost like one of these box clubs you get monthly where you're getting product months before it even goes to the consumer, to the marketplace. And sometimes it's just white labeled with just an ingredient sticker because we don't even know what we're going to name it yet. Mm-hmm. We just had three flavors of bars launch: Rocky Road, Blueberry Muffin, and Mint Chocolate Chip. And those were all in Quest Labs, and we got feedback, so we launched them in the order of the popularity. So, but we did that months and months ago.
Yeah.
And same thing with Cereal Bar, we're launching this Saturday. We had that in Quest Labs for months, and we got feedback on the flavors, and it helps you in the marketing campaigns too, you know, what we think is going to do well and trend.
Yeah, I think that's so smart. And I want to draw a parallel because, you know, one of the things that we kind of talked about before we jumped on is I love taking lessons that we can garner from a big company like Quest Nutrition that started as a really small operation and kind of apply it to, you know, this entirely different space. You know, 90% of the people listening are like infopreneurs. We sell courses or coaching or consulting. But one of the concepts that we are very strongly behind is essentially pre-selling. And it's not really fleshing out the offer of whatever it is fully, but getting really clear on what your audience wants, putting that offer in front of them. And I love kind of secretly that you guys charge for the products, because that's what we say. The only way to validate is if people pay for it and then want more, you know, you're on the right track. So these concepts are almost universal, even though they might manifest in different ways. So in our space, we call it like pre-selling, and you guys call it Quest Labs, and you release products early. But I love that you do that. You exactly what you said, like sometimes we don't know exactly how we're going to market it or exactly what it's going to be called. We just know the core ingredients, or, you know, the parallel would be like the core problem we're solving. And you put that out there and you validate with them that they want it, which saves you a ton of time in the marketplace and money.
Oh, for sure. And we learned that. Yeah. Oh, money and time in marketplace. Cause you know, and we've learned, I mean, like you said, you have to listen to people. So we've had flavors that internally we may think are amazing, and we put it on Quest Labs and it's done marginally. So, you know, it's definitely a great tool, and I recommend it to companies because it's a great way to test whatever you want to call it, you know, pre-launch, prepaid, try it in advance. Shit, I wish Apple would do that, right, with their phones. Let me try it for a couple months before I have to keep buying them. It dawned on us to let people try it and see how it goes, and it seemed to have worked so far. So, and we're going to continue to do it, and the membership keeps growing. And it's cool because I have people that write us and say, hey, I got to try this in advance. It's amazing. And yeah, I feel like we're bringing value to our consumers and our fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And that was something I didn't even know before we started talking. I'm so thrilled that we were able to stumble upon that. So I kind of want to keep going down this rabbit hole of how truly connected you are to your customers. And one thing that stands out to me is I'm a social media person. So like I love to be all up on social media. And what I tend to find is that you guys do a really, really good job of connecting your product with your audience without a constant stream of, like, you know, this is our flavor today, go buy it. This is our flavor today, go buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, how did you kind of develop, you know, I know that this is like a loaded question, so, but how did you guys kind of develop that social media strategy, for lack of a better word, or how were you able to really streamline that process of connecting, getting that data, and then putting content out there that people want to engage with? Because, I mean, I'm sure you know, like, it's harder than ever to get people to engage with content, and yet you guys are doing a really great job with that.
Hey, listen, I can't say we're masters at this. I think we've learned by our own trial and error. But look, there again, you got to listen to your people. And content is an interesting, you know, play these days. As you know, millennials, I'm a little older, but I've learned very quickly, people to watch something for 30 seconds could be a long time. You know what I mean? You have to, once again, gauge. So we've come up with these, you know, 15-second recipes for Instagram. We have, you know, the Cook Clean in 15. It's a 15-minute show on its Facebook Live. We're always innovating to keep up with what people are looking for and ask for. You know, you could look how the trends in YouTube change. People don't want to watch long versions of things anymore. So that's one thing we've geared towards. And you're right, we're not going to keep posting things. Hey, here's the new flavor, go buy it. You know, some people just want to see fun, cool stuff too. And, you know, we'll post a recipe or post a success story or a transformation or something, just a success story. It doesn't have to always be about trying to shove product out, you know. I think some of those things come organically. But putting the customer first is always first in our mind. We just try and practice that every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's something so key that you said there, which is, you know, it's about getting good content and now it's about getting it fast. And there's a really fascinating piece. Of course, now I can't remember where I read it, but essentially there's literally so much content now that the average person who is like engaged in the social media space, Instagram, Facebook, if you have those accounts, essentially you are less attentive than a goldfish. A goldfish has a larger attention span than you now because of how much is coming at us. And I think the other thing that you said is like, you know, like understanding that millennial generation. I think that, you know, when I look at your Facebook page through the eyes of like, again, I love to be the numbers person and just look at it. It's very clear that you guys have zoned in on your demographics, even with, you know, some of the videos that you have done where like you have a couple of people behind a desk, one of them is behind a computer and you guys are like sampling products. Like, you know, that speaks to a lot of what we see is massively appealing to the millennials right now in the space. And I think that that's, you know, that's another way that you guys have become very responsive to your audience in a way that shows them like, we're listening. You don't have to blatantly be like, here's how we're listening. You're doing it by putting out that content that they want.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. So I want to kind of shift just a little bit slightly kind of away from the social media. And there was something that we talked about or that was kind of went back and forth in our discussion before this interview, which is that you guys are really strategic about connecting with people and bringing that human connection into your brand, sometimes behind the scenes. There's a really amazing concept from Gary Vaynerchuk, which is essentially like one is better than zero, right? It's better to connect with one person than to connect with no people. And, you know, in 2016, especially for people starting a business, we are like, well, I just go on Facebook and everybody will like my stuff. We know that's not true, especially on this side of the conversation. So how are you incorporating that human element, that high touch experience? And how are you delegating that? Because, I mean, you guys are a massive company. And yet I see you on Instagram connecting with fans and talking to people. And I see people tagging you guys in posts. And how are you maintaining that high level of connection and being intentional about it so that it's actually building your brand without sapping your resources?
Interesting. By the way, we love Gary V. We all love him.
Yeah.
Great motivator. We have about 2,500 influencers, we'll call it. And we stay engaged with them by many different ways. We have a, you know, small team, but as a matter of fact, while I'm talking to you right now, we have one of the guys from the NFL just came and visited. We have every day influencers from all walks of life come and visit us because I think they look at us like a genuine brand and we've developed, I call it friendships. I always say this, like, we want a date before we get engaged kind of thing with people. And we're like a friendly based company and we don't ask anything in return. And we will send athletes or influencers product and ask nothing of them. We've even had people call and say, hey, I got this product. Hey, great. I hope you enjoy it. We've been so fortunate to have very big names post about us, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and ask nothing in return. And I could give you a laundry list of people that will talk about us in interviews and NFL players, NBA, and on and on and on. And people are blown away. Other brands are like, wait, how'd you get, that must've cost you $10,000 to get that guy to post or whatever. And no, they're just friends with the brand. We've been courting them and, you know, we've gone to, you know, listen, we will go out of our way to build these great relationships. And they're all authentic. Like I spend weekends traveling. I go see people at their CrossFit gyms. I go see people at their yoga studios. I go see Gary Vee when he's speaking somewhere. You go support other people's endeavors and in turn, they're going to want to support you. And, you know, Zappos has a, you know, and I practice this, 9 out of 10 people want to do business with people they like. And if you like someone, it makes it much more easier to even buy your brand. So, I mean, we have a win-win. We have a great brand and great product, and people like to do business with us because we've built authentic relationships. That's one thing I think a lot of brands get away from. You know, you sit behind a desk, you pump out all these great marketing things, but they have no real interaction or real personal relationships. They just assume, hey, I emailed this guy, now we're best friends. It just doesn't work like that. You still have to make authentic, real relationships.
I love that.
Shaking hands, seeing people. And you know what's crazy? I mean, I know we live in this world where, I mean, even me, I call it friends on Facebook. I've never met them in my life, but they'll consider me a friend. And sadly, the world's shifting that way very, very drastically. I still will get on a plane every weekend. I'm going to Phoenix this weekend to support a CrossFit event. I'm going to a bodybuilding event, and then I'm going to go work out with two influencers on Saturday. Two major influencers, but we're friends, and we'll go do something cool together. But that's priceless to me. We have that relationship bond. They're going to support us. We're going to support them. But that's the cost of doing business if you really want to build a genuine brand.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad that the interview has gone the way that it has. Yeah. We actually just had somebody on episode 31. We'll throw it in the show notes, but we had somebody on speaking about this and that true value of connection. And, you know, especially for like infopreneurs, a lot of the people kind of listening to this show, we are on our computer. Like our computer is our business, and it's really easy to get wrapped up behind the scenes. But something that you said that I kind of want to distill down to our audience a little bit is you said we send them product without expecting anything. And, you know, the first thing I can hear like from my audience is like, well, I can't just give away my product. That's all I have, or I'm not a physical product, or how do you give away your time? Right. But it's not necessarily about giving away the product. It's that you give without expectation. And that can come in any form, whether, like you said, it's hopping on a plane or taking 5 minutes. Or, you know, we recently did this promotion where we had about 3,000 people go through it. And I personally took the time to respond to every comment. And what was so crazy to me was how many people emailed us and were like, I can't believe you commented on everything, because that's just not what people do. And I love that Quest is doing that, because that is the differentiator in 2016. It's not about good ad. It's not about good pictures. It's about people want to do business with people and brands that they would want to go work out with on a Saturday.
Exactly. And I tell people that, yeah, listen, we're in a unique situation. Everywhere I go, I have a backpack full of Quest bars. That's easy because I'm giving clean food. But it doesn't matter what your brand is. If you can support someone you admire or like, I'll see people I admire. Oh, they're doing a book signing at the Grove. I'll go by and just, hey, I'm a fan. I want to come by and support you. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could support people or get support. You don't have to per se give something away. I belong to a group called Metal International, local here in LA. We hike every Sunday. And they're entrepreneurs and, you know, startup companies and just a co-ed group of people. I don't ask anything of them. They don't ask anything of me, but we sometimes will hike for a couple hours and realize, oh, I'm hiking with a guy or girl who needs this or needs that. And to me, there's nothing better than people supporting people in their endeavors. They're not competitors to me. I hiked with a guy last week just starting a nutrition company. And I'm like, dude, what can I do to help you? I'll help you look at your business plan. To me, there's no threat. It's just helping other people build their brands and be better human beings. I mean, to me, there's nothing more valuable than building relationships and helping other people, because it's kind of a selfish world to just run your own company, get rich and do nothing. Hey, great. Yay. What are you doing to give back, to show other people? So like I said, I go out of my way to help other people, and we do. So
I love that. And I really want to pull out what you just said there that I think is so critical. And it's something that I think more people should be talking about, which is like, you literally are essentially on a hike with somebody who you could, you know, in layman term, like their competition. They're looking to start a company that is taking part of the market share, especially with a large company like you. And you don't see them as competition. And, you know, I have really good friends in the space who sell essentially competing products. I'm actually going out of town this weekend to a mastermind event with a couple of them. And, you know, I had somebody reach out to me once and say like, well, why would you say that they're a good brand when they're competing with you? And I just love that how eloquently you said that there is no competition. It's just about raising everybody up together, because that's who people want to do business with. People like that, people who aren't cutting each other down, people who are in it together, because, you know, it comes back to what we talked about at the beginning. You have a grand vision about, it's not just about the Quest bars. It's about what you're creating in the world.
Yeah. And listen, when we started the bars, and like I said, it was oversaturated. The category is pretty flat. I don't know the numbers, but we started it. Now every other company has bars now. It's elevated. It's gone up 10, 20-fold, the bar category. But other brands jumped on that bandwagon. Now, yeah, listen, competition's competition. Obviously, don't want to be outsold, but I think it's great that people are entrepreneurial and create these ideas, and you know, it just makes it a better place.
Yeah, I love it. Well, let's go into the wrap up because I'm just going to talk your ear off forever if we don't. So just through our rapid fire questions that we always go through, what is one thing that someone could do based on what they've learned today to kind of start to get forward momentum in their business or move forward from where they are right now?
Focus on building a genuine brand. Be genuine about what you're doing.
Love it. And what does the definition of hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Hustle for me is work hard, long, and smart, and don't worry about watching the clock.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. All right, we'll wrap it up with a little plug. Where can we find out more about Quest Nutrition and what you guys are working on right now?
Very simple. It's our website. Everything connected to us is questnutrition.com, and all our social media is Quest Nutrition, Facebook, Instagram, all that. That's where you could find us and our story.
Awesome. Well, Bruce, I won't take any more of your time. It sounds like you have quite the weekend ahead of you. So I want to just thank you again for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate it. Tons of amazing value, and I cannot wait to hit publish on this one.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and have an amazing day.
So I think I warned you guys that, seriously, this ended up being such a good episode, but I want to really lean in on a couple of things that happened within this episode that I think apply to our business, regardless of what we sell. I know that a lot of you guys are infopreneurs, coaches, consultants, course creators, but here's the thing. Some of this content within the episode was so applicable to every single market. And the one thing that really stuck out to me early on was that when Quest Nutrition was getting started, a lot of people told them, you can't do it that way. That's not going to work. I can't tell you how many people told me stuff like that when I was building up my business. Like, you can't sell a high ticket product right on a Periscope, or you can't ask people for that much money when you're this phase of business, or you have to charge more money, or you can't do it this way. The reality is, the real change makers, they hear people say, you can't do it that way, and they say, watch me. And to me, that was one of the standout moments of this episode. Another thing that really stood out to me was when they were talking about Quest Labs, which is essentially pre-selling Quest bars or Quest products to validate that the marketplace even wants them. Now, you guys might remember from episode 20, which we can throw in the show notes, that I talked to you about validate that people actually want what you're looking to sell before you do all the work. You see, in our space, when we talk about doing the work, it's mental work, right? We have to create the product. We have to do the effort. We have to build the course, hire the designer. But in a physical product space, like with Quest Nutrition, doing all that first is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of product that they can't afford to be out. So the reality is, in every niche, there are ways to actually validate that your marketplace wants something before you ever put in the time, effort, resources, money. And the final thing that really stood out to me that I want you to think about was Bruce said there is no competition. Now, this was a breath of fresh air to me because we tend to hear this sometimes in the more woo-woo side of the internet marketing space. People say, like, there's no competition, focus on you. But I think Bruce really distilled it because the reality is, like he said, the market when they started for nutritional bars was small. They literally created their own competition. And yet, Bruce is out there all the time networking with people who are perceived competition. Because the reality is, when you want to rise to the top, you have to bring people with you. I mean, that part of the interview just stood out to me because, I mean, we say there's no competition online because there's so much space, but the reality is, in the nutritional bar space, there is a limited market. There is only so many people that want it. There is straight up competition. And if someone like Quest Nutrition and Bruce can say, no, we're going to work together to create a better world, I mean, I think that that's something we can take to the bank. So, such an amazing episode. If you guys want to get the full show notes, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/40. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/40. Get yourself the full show notes. We'll link up everything that we talked about. We'll link to Quest Nutrition. But again, I would recommend listening to this episode twice because it's very rare that we're able to take someone outside of our niche and get really amazing distilled knowledge that applies so well to our market. So highly recommend that you listen twice. But with that being said, until next week, keep hustling and get out there and make some epic stuff happen.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.